Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. We're still in lockdown, and here we are, approaching July, and I'm doing this recording on Thursday night, the hottest day of the year. I just want to say you're really welcome to join with us. If you're a visitor, fantastic to see you. And for all our lovely congregation at London Road, it's great for you to be with us. If you've just clicked on and found us via Google, if you re-click on via the link on London Road Baptist Church website, you'll get the full production, including the songs, and you'll learn a little bit more about us. You're recording via YouTube, Google, it's just a little bit restricted. So click on via our website. And another good morning to all of you who have already seen on our meet and greet. And what we do as a regular congregation is between 10 and 10:30 via Zoom, we meet as if it was normal church. So it's fantastic that we're all together. You know, on these Sunday morning services, we've been looking since Easter at how did the church grow between Easter and Pentecost? How did the church come into being? And last week we talked about how the church was established in that place called Antioch, and the followers of Jesus were first called Christians there. This week we're moving down the road. We're going to Greece to a place called Philippi. And God literally redirected and scattered his missionaries to this place, Philippi. And when they went to Philippi, they found this prime mover in the establishment of that church in Philippi. And this prime mover, it was new to the church, was a lady called Lydia. Let me just read a little bit about Lydia here in Acts 16, verses 13 and 14. And so this is when Paul arrived at Philippi, and we read these words: "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message." You know, Lydia's heart was opened up by God. I just want to say to you, have you ever asked God to soften your heart, to open up your heart so that you can give yourself more fully to him? You know, Matthew tells us in his gospel, "For wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there also." What Lydia did, she began to treasure Jesus, and so her heart followed her treasure. We're going to sing a song now. It's a wonderful song. "Lord, I give you my heart." And maybe you want to use this song as an opening prayer and a time of worship and rededicate your life and give your heart to God.
With all my heart, I worship you.
Let's pray together. Well, really, Lord, the song says it all. I want to say as an individual, not as a minister at the front of a church, my desire is to honour you. And I know that it's the desire of my many friends who make the congregation up of London Road Baptist Church. And I believe if you're listening to us as a visitor, your heart must be there also, that your desire is to know more about Jesus, who is Lord. And all that's within me, Lord, I desire to give you praise. And I want to be an authentic Christian that puts you first. I want to live for you alone. And so, Lord, when I look at the reality, I just say sorry for when I've not honoured you. I just say sorry when I've not given you all my praise. I say sorry when I've not adored you as I should, and when I've lived for myself and not for you. But I say afresh, Lord, like Lydia, Lord, I want to soften my heart and I want you to have your way in my life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, it's fantastic this morning. I'm going to hand over in a moment to the lovely Amy. And Amy's going to bring our reading. It's found in the book of Acts, Acts 16, 6 to 15. And the name is chosen, a wonderful song that sums up where she is with her faith and what she'd love to share with you. So I'm going to hand you over to my friend and your friend, Amy.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Amy, and I've been going to London Road Baptist Church for 2 years. What the COVID-19 season means to me, something Neil said in a sermon a few weeks before lockdown, which was the church isn't the building, it's the people. And this has been my experience over the last few months. With us staying connected by social media, Sunday services or podcasts, and house groups meeting up for Bible studies and supporting each other. Without the building, it's become very apparent to me that we are the church. The reading today is Acts 16, 6 to 15. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there, we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So I'm not going to lead you in prayer. I'm going to ask that you be still in God's presence and lift up your prayers to him.
Be still and know that the Lord is in control. Be still, my soul. Stand and watch as giants fall. I won't be afraid, for you are here. You silence all my fear. I won't be afraid, you don't let go. Be still my heart and know I won't be afraid. And trust what the Lord has said is done. Find rest, don't strive. Watch his faith and grace align. I won't be afraid, for you are here. You silence all my fear. I won't be afraid, you don't let go. Be still my heart and know I won't be afraid.
Thanks, Amy. You read really well, and what a lovely song choice. You know, we're going to do the prayers a little bit different this week, and I hope you're able to engage with me in a moment praying this Sunday morning for our town, Lowestoft. And we're going to do this in an unusual way. I managed to get my hands on a wonderful video clip of flying over and going through the streets of Lowestoft, and it's coupled with a wonderful song. And I just want to say to you that I think you'll enjoy this, particularly if you love Lowestoft. But as you travel through this town that we dwell in together, and as the song encourages, let's just ask God to bless Lowestoft. So indulge with me. Go on this journey. Yes, enjoy the video. But as we watch it, let's pray for our wonderful town of Lowestoft.
Love.
gracious to mortals, face toward you,
and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
Second guessing, we know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family, and your children,
and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. Your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you,
and a thousand generations.
And your family, and your children,
and their children,
and their children. May his favor be upon you,
and a thousand generations.
And your family, and your children.
In the children,
may his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening.
Well, I've called this week's message Antioch last week, Philippi this week. And, you know, we've talked about the early church scattering, and the Apostle Paul at this stage of Acts 16 is travelling with a team, not as a lone ranger, to deliver the decisions made by a special council held in Jerusalem. And the leaders of the church in Jerusalem sent out missionaries. Missionaries and churches should always be accountable and always be sent. And so here's Paul now moving from city to the next church, a church that they'd started either on a previous visit or an establishment of a new one. But all of a sudden for them, doors start closing. Now, we always think of a God who opens doors, but this little story in Acts begins with God who closes doors. So God says to us, look for open doors. But God uses closed doors to put in us in situations for his message to get to the people who he's already prepared for us to hear. In verse 6, we see that the Holy Spirit shut the door into Asia. And notice there in verse 6, it says, they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching there. In verse 7, it's even stronger. It says that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter another area. Doors for Paul were closed twice. And Paul didn't understand that initially, because it made good sense to take the gospel into Asia, to him, into these communities. And it was God's plan to put the gospel into the whole world. But what we read of in this little story, it wasn't God's plan for Paul to do it then and there. And my guess is that Paul was a little disappointed and maybe even discouraged when doors were closed. You know, the writers in the Bible says there is a way that seems right to man. And sometimes, you know, we can have a right intention. But I remember one minister saying to me very many moons ago, the enemy of the good is not the bad. No, sorry, he said the enemy of the best is not the bad, it's the good. We can sort of identify bad things, but God doesn't want us to have good things. He wants us to have the best things. I don't know if you've been in a similar situation. Sometimes things seem so clear to us when we try to move forward, and then the door sort of is slammed in our faces. You know, the house sale doesn't go through, or the house we wanted, we're gazumped on. Do you know, I just want to say this, that I'll no longer now pray that people in the congregation will get the house that they've set their heart on. Because I have seen so many times when God has closed the door and 6 months later he provides a more suitable house for them, and then they suddenly realise, oh, that was good. Sometimes, you know, God may not want us to have a promotion now because he's got a plan for our lives in the short term. Sometimes, though, we're just frustrated. We get the health report that we weren't expecting to read. But instead of getting frustrated or angry, try to see that this is God's loving way of redirecting us. How is God supposed to redirect us if he doesn't close doors as well as open doors? I just want to say, why not find out where God is working and join him there? That's maybe a much better way than doing what we want to do and then asking him to bless us. Now, instead of striving, Paul tries sleeping. It's interesting, Acts 16, 9, 10. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia to help us. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach the gospel over there. You know, God often makes a way when we get out of the way. When we wait, God goes to work. Look at Acts there, 16 verse 12. From there, Paul says, we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. Philippi, like Antioch last week, was another Roman colony, even though it was separated geographically from Italy. And so God knew that because Paul himself was a Roman citizen, because he was Roman in his culture, it made sense to put the right person in the right place in a Roman colony, and that was Paul. And that's why Paul ultimately ends up in Rome at the end of his life. And so Paul and his team arrived in this town expecting to find the man who'd appeared in the vision. And he imagined they were probably a bit anxious because they can't find a believer anywhere. And yet, verse 12 concludes this way. And we stayed there for several days. And so Paul, for a few days, is looking for this man he'd seen in this vision. You know, it's a good principle when you're waiting for a door to open. Don't be in such a hurry. Wait for God's timing. You know, there's good plans and God's plans. And there's only no difference. There are good plans and God's plans. And verse 13 tells us that on the Sabbath, they went outside the city by a river in order to find a place for prayer because they thought that the people would congregate there. Now, we don't really understand that. Let me just unpack it. According to Jewish law, a synagogue could only be established in the ancient world if there were 10 men who could commit to the congregation. But since Philippi didn't have a quorum of committed men, a group of women met near the river for prayer. I just want to say, a group of women as well as a group of men can start a church. Ministry is not the exclusive domain of men, and we see this in this story. Second, make God's place a priority. Now look at the first half of verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Now, it was important to be near water because Jewish people would ritually wash their hands before prayer. And if you was a proselyte, that means a non-Jew, but wanted to become a Jew, you used to be baptized. Baptism did not begin with the New Testament. If you remember, John the Baptist was baptizing people during Jesus's ministry, and it was the Jewish leaders who said, why is he baptizing? We don't need to be baptized because we're the sons of Abraham and we're already in. But baptism was a rite of passage for somebody who wanted to become a Jew. And so water and baptism and purification was what happened in the ancient world, and a small congregation would always meet by the river. That's why you get that pop song I could sing to you, Bo Me En. Is it, have I got right? Bo Me En? By the rivers of Babylon. It's the same thing. You get that in the Old Testament. And these women gathered, it says, to recite scripture. Now, they was only reading from the law of the prophets, but they were discussing what they were reading and praying about it. They never understood the understanding of New Testament grace, but they're attracted to the authenticity of this Jewish God, Jehovah. But let me say this, never minimize what happens when people pray. Never minimize what happens when a group of women pray. I have learned that. And when we're in an attitude of expectancy, God opens doors. Look what Paul and his partners do in the first half of verse 13. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Verse 14, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. And Lydia was from a town that was famous for making purple dyes, and was likely to be in charge of the branch office or whatever it was of Philippi. She was a wealthy businesswoman. And purple was the colour of royalty, and these cloths were in high demand because of their status. That's why you always see the Roman Emperor with purple. That's why the Pope wears purple. It would be like the Armani suit or the Tommy Hilfiger clothes today. It would be like wearing a Rolex watch or carrying a Gucci handbag. Now, to most Jews, however, her job would have been scandalous. Let me put this into context. Because the purple dye came from shellfish. And in the Old Testament law, shellfish was considered to be unclean. It would be like the prodigal son working with pigs. It was an unclean thing to touch. And Jews were told to abstain and keep away from shellfish. But also note this, that she was a worshipper of God. This meant that she was a Gentile, that's a non-Jewish person by birth, who had decided in some way, we don't know how, to follow Judaism. To follow Judaism, and she was sincerely seeking spiritual truth. She had an open heart. She recognized all the false aspects of Judaism, all the rituals, all the legalistic. She probably recognized what religion wasn't, but she recognized that within Judaism there was truth. It's a bit like church, you know. Sometimes we're a very bad advertisement for what it is to be a Christian. And people, despite our shortfalls, see Jesus. So she's on a journey. You might be on a journey this morning if you stumbled on this video. She was religious, but she wasn't yet redeemed. She knew of God, but didn't really know God. She was praying, but she had not yet discovered God's purpose for her life. And in meeting with others, she was then about to meet with God in a very real way. I just want to say this. If you want God to become more real to you, then prioritize the importance of meeting with others and praying. Don't isolate yourself from God and God's people. If you're on that journey, relate to other people and relate more intimately to God. And then thirdly, I want to say, well, actually go through open doors. And as she was listening to the words of these messengers, it says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. That's why you and I should always pray for a soft heart. Time and time the scriptures tell us, don't let your hearts be hardened. In other words, be open to what God wants to do. And Paul and his partners were faithful in following God's instructions as they searched for those who were open and located Lydia, who was seeking. We need to accompany people who are looking and seeking this spiritual truth. And God made all this happen, and yet he chose to use the messengers who would communicate his message so that this religious woman could become a redeemed woman and a member of God's family. And God in his sovereignty at work behind the scenes, even when we're not even aware of it. God is working in your life and in my life. And I want to say that at times we're not aware of it. And when we think our conversation with somebody is wasted or has all gone wrong, remember God is working behind the scenes. And God orchestrated this encounter by the river so that Lydia could hear the message from Paul and to use some jargon and get saved. You know, our responsibility is to simply share the word of God whenever we have the opportunity. It's God's job to open hearts. You know, I think it's a really important prayer that if you're going to talk to a colleague at work or you're going to talk to a family member, is to say, Lord, soften their heart. Soften their heart so their ears can hear. And thirdly, demonstrate outward evidence of inner change. We looked at this last week. After Lydia's conversion, verse 15 tells us that she and the members of her household were baptized, actually probably in the river next to where they were meeting. You know, it's interesting when you read the New Testament, you cannot separate baptism and belief and conversion in the New Testament. Those that believed were baptized, and those that evangelized also talked about baptism. So in this conversation, Paul must have talked about baptism, and this wonderful lady says, I'll get baptized. When it uses the word household, it's not talking in the sense of like a nuclear family, like mum and dad and two kids. In the original Greek, household means company. She was a businesswoman, and she would have had other significant people and employees that would have lived together in community, and the whole household was attracted to the Christian message. You know, when we go under the water, like Lydia did, we're simply publicly stating in a very visible way that our desire is to honour God and be completely committed, totally devoted, and undeniably identified with Jesus Christ. And then I love the modesty of Lydia in verse 15. She says these words, if you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. What lovely humility. Paul, if you consider me a woman, a Gentile, to now be a believer. See, her heart changed, but she still thought, well, maybe Paul was a chauvinistic Jewish man who couldn't see beyond his own prejudices. We know that Paul was persuaded. You know, because the Lord opened her heart to believe, she publicly identified herself as a believer through baptism, and then she opened the door to her home, a home of hospitality, when she said, come and stay at my house. She received the message in her heart, and now she receives the messengers into her home. And Luke adds that she persuaded them to use her house as a home base so they could provide rest and refreshment and for this travelling team. And they wouldn't take no for an answer. And then they would have met there and they would have established a synagogue. And in those days, that synagogue would have been a messianic synagogue. It would be a synagogue that says, yes, we recognise Jesus as the Messiah. Hospitality was a strategic ministry back then, and it also is today. So what life lessons can I see from Lydia? I can see three action steps. First of all, I want to say, when God opens the door of salvation, go through it. Listen out for Jesus, and when he opens your heart, respond to him. And if you're listening to this service this morning, it's not about listening, it's about responding. And you can do that right now. You can take the words of a video and make them very personal this morning. And if you're listening to this right now, at this exact time, it's because God has opened some doors for you to hear what I've just said. God is already opening doors in your life, and he's opened doors in my life to enable me to share this message along with John and Martin, who's in this building with me. John 10:19 says it like this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I just want to say God's got an open door policy. It's an open door policy. There's nothing exclusive about the kingdom of God. You're welcome. Secondly, when God shuts a door, go through the one he opens. God will make a way when we get out of the way. By closing one door, another one opened, and Paul and his team went through it. And I want to say, well, what door is closed for you right now? Don't just view it as a disappointment. God's got a better plan. Instead of trying to force that door open, by faith, ask God to open another one and make it clear what that door is. It's interesting, God appeared to Paul twice. 3, help others to go through doors by seeking just to win them for Christ. Notice how Paul and his team did this. They were intentional. They went to where the religious people were. They went to the best place where they thought they could convert people to Christianity. Look for ways to be purposeful. Be with people who don't know Jesus but are maybe sympathetic. That might involve you joining an organisation, hanging out with other parents at the school gate, or not being quite so quick to leave work so you can talk to somebody who's just finding life tough. Leverage your career, your relationships and your interests for the sake of the kingdom. Don't become a holy Joe, but understand that God's interested in the whole of your life. And you are where you are at any time of the day because God has opened and closed doors to put you there. You have divine appointments every day, and I have divine appointments every day. Secondly, be relational. It simply says they sat down with the women. One of the great things about this sort of lockdown is people are having to sit down with one another. That's interesting, that, isn't it? Some of you are struggling. But for many of us, we're thinking, do you know, it's just nice to chat. Bob Hoskins used to say on the BT advert, it's nice to talk. Sometimes Paul would stand up in the marketplace to preach, but this time he sat down and he talked. It's not just about preaching, it's about talking as well. And later this team took the time to sit down and stay in Lydia's house, where they were able to disciple the new believers. It wouldn't have been all Bible class. They would have talked about their lifetime experiences. They would have talked about what they'd seen God had done. But they would have talked about their family and their friends and their jobs. Ministry must always be relational. And some of us simply need to be friendly people. Thirdly, be conversational. It just says they spoke with them. Notice they didn't preach at them. They didn't argue politics. They didn't even try to correct her customs. Francis of Assisi says, at all times preach the gospel. When necessary, use words. I don't fully agree with Francis of Assisi, but I think we use words and we use actions. Simply tell a story, one writer puts it like this. Simply tell a story and somewhere wrap the gospel up in it. Thirdly, I'm going to use a big word now. Be Christological. They could have talked about any number of things, but they focused on Jesus. That's what it means to be Christological, to be Jesus central. Whenever we do have conversations, I know it sounds difficult, but steer a conversation to Jesus. People like Jesus better than the church. I want to tell you that. Mahatma Gandhi said, I'd like to be a Christian if it wasn't for Christians, because I like Jesus. And be family orientated. Don't miss what happened. This entire family, this entire household, and this entire extended family became believers when just the one person, Lydia, came to faith. Verse 15, the second half, when she and her members of her household heard, they were baptized. I think that's what happened when the missionaries lounged in Lydia's house. They got to know the other family members and they treated them all the same. It must have been revolutionary. First of all, for Paul, as a Pharisee, ex-Pharisee, to be in the company of women like Jesus was and talking to them as equals and talking to these Gentiles as equals. And so although Lydia was a high-flying business owner, she obviously had a wonderful relationship with people of all class who worked for her and underneath her. You know, I pray that as we focus on families in our community, through our work we do with Liz at Witten, through how Esther tries to engage with people in street chaplaincy, how Jen tries to engage through our young people, that entire homes will come to Christ and follow his ways. If the gospel doesn't penetrate a household, it won't make headway in a community. And so that's all I really want to say to you this morning. So what have we learned from Lydia this morning? Look for open doors. Make God's place a priority. Go through the doors that he opens. And demonstrate outward evidence of your inner change. And what do we learn from Lydia's life lessons? Well, three action steps. When God opens the door of salvation, you go through it. When God shuts a door, go through the one he opens. And thirdly, help others to go through open doors by seeking to win them for Jesus. And just to cap, notice how Paul and his team did all of this. They were intentional. They were relational. They were conversational. They were Christological. And they tried to simply be family and friends. So I hope you've got something from that little lesson from Lydia in Philippi. And so I just want to say bye to you all. It's been great being with you. If you want to know any more about us, please contact us through the website. If you want to join us on a meet and greet, again, there's details on our website. And if you'd like somebody to pray with you this morning and you're a regular with the church, then you know how to contact Bill and I. And Bill and I are available to pray with you. But if you're somebody in this community and when you want to have a chat with me or any member of this congregation, do contact us via our church website. And so as we draw to a close, we're going to just join in this wonderful Chris Tomling song, Crown Him Majesty, which is all that Lydia did when she encountered the real Jesus, when she went from being a religious person to a redeemed person through the help of Paul, who was stopped by a closed door but went through the door that God opened. See you all next week.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for me. Inhale him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Majesty, Lord.
majesty, Lord.